And there were some things I didn't really get to in the Psalms, the two Psalms that we read this morning. And I think I'm going to go back there because we're a little short on time. And then we'll pick it up in Colossians next Sunday. But if you go back to Psalm 125 and 128, I want us to just look at those two Psalms, and we're going to look at some of the things that we didn't discuss this morning that I want to use to wrap up our talking about Father's Day and the importance of fathers and moms and families, and that God's plan has always been for the home, and how that in our country today, it's the home has been placed to the side. Let's just read those two Psalms again, beginning at Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, but the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. And in Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you just speak to us through these two little psalms. And Father, they have a lot to say to us. Lord, speak to us this morning and help us to understand, or this afternoon rather, and help us to understand the truths that you would have in store. May your Spirit teach us these truths, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, we're in a great spiritual battle. At the heart of it is the family. God understands that battle. And in Psalm 125, it was a psalm that was written that the nation of Israel would sing, it talks about trust. It talks about the faithfulness of God and how important it is for us to look and trust in the Lord. And it gives some examples to us of concrete examples that anyone from Israel would understand and that we need to understand as Christians that these same truths apply to us. And let's just take this little verse, these five verses, and then we'll look at the other six verses in the other psalm. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. I talked this morning, and I just mentioned briefly at the beginning of the message, about Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the center of all of God's Word. It focuses on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where Jesus was crucified. Mount Zion is where Abraham took Isaac to offer him to the Lord, and God provided a ram. Mount Zion is referred to as a place that Jesus shall return to, where his temple will be built, and he'll rule and reign from there during the millennial kingdom. So Mount Zion is something that's not going to disappear. They're talking about on the west coast, California. They've got the San Andreas Fault that runs up and down the west coast of California. And the scientists have said, well, if they have this massive earthquake that they're projecting, a big chunk of California could fall into the Pacific Ocean. Literally, you could have towns disappear. But Mount Zion will never disappear. And what the Lord is saying here is, we should trust in the Lord, and those that trust in God are going to be as solid and secure in the Lord as Mount Zion. So the first thing I want you to understand is that when we trust and look to the Lord, He is there, He is real, His Word is true, and He is faithful to His Word, and our security rests in Him. and his ability to deliver upon his word. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And so when he's promised us these things, we are as secure in him as Mount Zion is in the workings of the Lord. Then he goes on and he says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. And if you go to Israel, one of the things that you'll see is that Jerusalem is up in the mountains, and there are mountains that surround Jerusalem, but you still always go up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is one of the highest points within the mountains. And there's all these mountains that surrounded Jerusalem. It made Jerusalem difficult to attack, although it wasn't impossible for the enemies of Jerusalem to come against her. But what he's saying is that these mountains are surrounding Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center of this. And the Lord is around us in securing us as Jerusalem is secured by the mountain ranges around them. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Now that's an interesting statement. What is he saying? Did you know that the unrighteous, the wicked, cannot touch you unless you allow them to touch you? You realize that's what this is saying. We are secure in the righteousness and truth of the Lord, because if we walk with him, we can't be touched by the wickedness of this world. As I mentioned this morning in the message, oftentimes what's happened is we fail to see this promise as Christians, and especially dads sometimes, and we begin to adopt the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. And if we walk in the way of the Lord, even though we may be persecuted, even though bad things may happen to us, they can't touch our soul. They can't deal with us because God's hand is upon us. The only way that the wicked can cause us harm is when we allow the wickedness of this world to influence us and we allow it in. That's why the Apostle Paul was always writing to the churches, and he was exhorting them to remember, you've come out of darkness, don't turn back to it. You've come into the marvelous light of Jesus, and you're walking in his light. Don't go back to the ways of the world and the wickedness thereof. The proverb says that a dog returns unto its vomit. And if you've ever seen what the proverb is speaking of, if you ever had a dog that's, a lot of times when they eat grass, they'll spit it up, throw it up, and then they'll go over to where they just threw it up and they'll eat it again. And you're going, gross, that's gross. Well, he's saying, well, we as Christians shouldn't be doing that. And the only way that we can be impacted by this world system into doing the things of this world is to allow ourselves to go back to the world that God delivered us from. And so we need to remember what he's saying in this psalm is, remember your position. You're as secure as Mount Zion. You're surrounded by the Lord. The wickedness of the evil one and the people of this world and this world's philosophies cannot influence your thinking unless you allow it to influence your thinking. So don't allow it. That's what he's saying. Don't open up your minds to the ways of this world, but rather keep your focus on God. Then he goes on, he says, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. And his prayer is, Lord, be with your people. Work in the lives of your people. May your blessing be upon your people. And you notice that, for example, I was just listening this morning to one of the, on the radio they have a couple of people that bring messages, and one of them was talking about when bad things happen to good people, what's our response? And he said, well, look at Job. And the amazing thing about Job is God allowed Satan to come against everything that was precious to Job and take it all away. And in all of that, not once did Job curse God. Never. As a matter of fact, Job said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord." He said, "It's the Lord's. I'm here just to honor God." Now we know that Job received, he received more than had been taken from him. And God doesn't always do that either. There's people that are persecuted in our world that are martyrs for their faith. They don't get their businesses back. Some don't get their finances back. And God doesn't promise that we will, but He does promise that we're going to have something that's going to be much better than anything that this world could give us. What we have is we have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ in the coming life. We can't even imagine what it's going to be. The scriptures tell us that just the little glimpses they give us, for example, in the book of Revelation of what heaven is going to be like. It's almost unimaginable when we look at our world, even though there's beauty in our world. There's also the scars of sin in our world. They're not going to be there. And we're going to be living with that. And so the psalmist is saying, "Lord, bless the righteous. Bless those that do good, because they seek your face." And then in verse 5, "As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways," that is the wicked, the evil of this world, the evil one, the people of this world that don't want to follow the Lord, "the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel." And what he's saying is that God's judgment will come, but that God's hand of fulfillment of His promises is going to be there. He promised Israel was going to have peace. He says that we're supposed to pray for the peace of Israel. Why do we do that? Well, I believe you look at the Middle East right now. Is Israel having a lot of peace? The answer is not right now. I mean, they're not at immediate war at this minute, although Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran are constantly rattling their sabers and sometimes shooting rockets and doing all these things to try and destroy Israel and Jerusalem. But yet we see one of the amazing things is that there's coming a day where there's going to be peace in Israel. When is that going to be? When there'll be absolute peace in Israel? That is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Why should we be paying for the peace of Israel? Well, we're supposed to pray that God would bring peace to Israel and peace to Jerusalem. But when true peace comes, who's coming? Jesus. And we should be longing for that day. And those that are righteous will see that day. But those that are walk in the wickedness and follow the ways of this world and fall into the lies of Satan will be judged and won't experience God's blessing. Now, let's jump over to 128. In 128, it's speaking specifically about the family in relation to what we studied in 125. 128 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." There's a special blessing that comes to those that seek to follow God's paths. And it begins with the family, and we're discussing this morning the center, the nucleus of the family is mom and dad. And then the blessing of the family is when children come. And that whole family will experience the blessings of the Lord if they seek to walk in obedience to the Lord. And it says that they're going to receive a special blessing. And those that feareth the Lord. And God tells us that wisdom comes and begins. Knowledge and wisdom begin with the fear of the Lord. When we don't fear the Lord, why don't we have knowledge and wisdom? Because when we're not fearing God, we're looking at the world and we're thinking, the world's got the answers. God doesn't. And I'm not fearing the Lord. I don't believe His promises. I don't believe His word. And I'm just going to rebel against God. Well, we don't get any blessings then. I want to tell you, the more you rebel, there may be temporary pleasures that people have, but they're not going to get God's blessings. And eventually, they're going to experience really death in various forms, by rebellion against God, and the ultimate death is spiritual death. But those who would seek to follow God will receive his blessing. He says, "For thou shalt eat at the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Now, we read this morning in Genesis that due to the curse, men had to work. We didn't read that verse, but I referred to it. And that by the sweat of his brow, man shall work. And one of the things that I alluded to and didn't get into full detail is the husband and the father. One of the things that he needs to do for his family is provide. And providing for a family means you have to work. And is it easy? No, it's not easy. But the thing is, God said, if you will do what I say and take your responsibility seriously, my hand of blessing will be upon you. And we're going to see in a moment some of the things that he's going to bless us with if we seek to honor the Lord and do what he tells us to do, to labor with our hands and to work. One of the things that we were created to do was work. Adam was created to take care of this earth. He was created to be a steward of the earth. And the fall resulted in a lot of bad things happening because of sin, but he still has a responsibility to be a steward over what God has entrusted him to. And when you become a believer, we have that responsibility of being a steward, and that means taking care of what God gives us. Now, as a father and a husband, we are to work and to take care of our families. One of the things that the world wants to do is flip roles on their heads and take responsibilities from what God has established and give it to others. And today, the world will tell you work is a bad thing. And right now in Europe, I forget how many weeks of vacation they get a year. It's crazy, number of weeks of vacation they get. There are people here that think that you really should have, they were talking about our work week should be shortened. We shouldn't have a 5-day work week. We shouldn't have to work so hard. You've got people that don't want to put in, they want more time to have leisure. And it seems like every time you turn around, there's a new holiday coming up for something or other. And at our job, place of employment, they offer 6 days, 6 holidays off with pay, but they aren't the Columbus Day and Martin Luther King Day and all these other days that have come up, President's Day. No, they're some of the main ones that are tied to significant, like 4th of July and New Year's and Christmas and those type of holidays, Memorial Day, Labor Day. But still, work is significant and important. Today, a lot of people don't want to work. It's one of the problems we've got in trying to find people to hire, is they want to get paid, but they don't want to work. The Bible says that you're supposed to labor. You're supposed to work. That it's good for a person, and especially a man who's in charge of his family, to labor and put in the effort to take care of his family. There are a lot of people, and sometimes there may be circumstances that result in a husband not being able to work and a wife having to work. But there's a lot of people today that have flipped roles simply because they want to flip roles, because the world says, well, women need to realize their fulfillment by working, and they're unfulfilled if they don't have a job, and a husband really should be at home taking care of the children. It's the exact opposite of the roles that the Bible said and that we talked about this morning. But work is not a bad thing, and especially for the one who is the head of the home. He says, "Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." And what's he going to be blessed? What's he going to be doing that's going to result in the blessing? Well, he's going to be working. He's going to take his responsibilities. And not only that, verse 3 gives us what that blessing is. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." Now, a lot of times on Mother's Day, I didn't do it this year, but a lot of times I'll read Proverbs chapter 31. And you can kind of see the women out in the audience cringing because what kind of a woman is this anyway? What does she have? She stay up 24 hours a day, all the things she accomplishes? I mean, she's out there, she's buying and selling, she's going to this, gathering the food for this, she's preparing the food, she's taking care of her children, she's mending the clothes, she's making the clothes, she's doing all these things, and then she goes out and in her spare time, she helps her husband with various tasks he's got that he needs done, like some things like buying and selling some land and a few little things like that, and you're going, and you hear the women going, wow, where's the Bible verse that deals with the man and his role like that, where it got that type of a deal? The only thing it tells the man is, well, he's got to be responsible for everything. And he's even got more responsible because the buck stops with him. And if it comes down to it, a man and a woman, as we saw this morning, are one flesh. They should be making decisions together as family and prayerfully making decisions. But if the buck comes to, there is an agreement, and the husband's the one that says, well, this is the way we're going. But guess what? The responsibility falls on the husband too. If he chooses that which is wrong and the wrong way to go, the wife isn't going to be blamed by the Lord, but the husband will be responsible for the Lord if he's made a decision that is not right in God's eyes. But anyway, so we see that the wife is going to be blessed if her husband takes seriously his responsibility and works. She'll be a blessing to him. She'll be there alongside his side, and she'll be a fruitful vine beside him. And the house will bear fruit because of her. Thine children like olive plants round about the table. Now, we don't understand the significance of that verse in North Dakota because we don't have olive trees. We went to an olive plant in Israel where they make various products out of olives. The olive tree is one of the most amazing trees. You get olive oil out of it that you use in cooking. They make things out of it that you put on your skin to make your skin better. You can place olive oil. It's various salves that they make for sores. Olive oil is amazing. The pits of the olives can be used and made to a cleansing material to help cleanse the skin and defoliate the skin. There's all kinds of things. We went there and we'd been there in 2014, we went again this year, and they had a whole bunch of new products that they'd come up with. And they were still doing research on the olive tree and what a wonderful plant it was. And not only that, guess what? The olive tree, it's really hard to destroy. We saw some olive trees that were alive during the time that Jesus lived. If you can imagine that when he walked in the Garden of Gethsemane, some of the olive trees that we saw in the Garden of Gethsemane were there. They're that old. Now, what is he saying here? He says that as this man is faithful and he works and he does what God calls him to do, his wife is going to be fruitful. She's going to be a blessing to him. And not only that, his children, well, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. They're going to be useful. They're going to bring blessing. They're going to be there, and they're going to be solid. They're not going to. Why? We talked this morning about that. The importance of the father and the mother, and if the father and mother don't have a strong relationship, it impacts the children. If father and mother have a strong relationship, children can see one thing, and that is that Jesus is alive in their lives. And it's real to them, and they're not going to ever be separated. One of the things that I knew, my mom and dad, once in a while, they get into an argument. They get into an argument, but I knew they'd never get divorced because they were committed to one another. They were absolutely committed to one another. They had disagreements, but they were absolutely committed. I never had to worry about that. I had friends who didn't have that luxury. And I saw the impact it had on some of their lives. And the thing is, my wife and I were talking about that, how blessed we were to have families where we had parents that were committed to one another and committed, and the Lord and His principles were the center of our homes. And that's what he's talking about here. The blessing that will be bore out in the children that sit around the table. They'll be like olive trees. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Now, there's a special blessing, and he's speaking specifically to a Jewish audience here, but the principle is that God will be there to give us and fulfill His word. I remember the first time we went to Israel, and I believe it was 2005 or 6. Our guide told us about the 1967 war. And he said that whenever he'd talk to his mother, and especially during Passover, she'd always say, "Next year in Jerusalem! Next year in Jerusalem!" In 1967, he was in Jerusalem when the Jews took over Jerusalem. He called his mom and got a hold of her and said, "Mom, we're in Jerusalem." And she didn't believe him. He said, no, really, we're in Jerusalem. We've taken Jerusalem. Next year has come. We're in Jerusalem. God had fulfilled His word. He had promised that that day was coming. And the Jews around the world would say, "Next year in Jerusalem." But some of them probably were just saying, "Yeah, next year in Jerusalem." We say that every year. But next year came. There are other things that God's promised. He's promised that the church is going to be raptured. It could happen any day. We should have an attitude of, it could happen today. But we always say, "Well, it could happen today. It could happen before we leave church." But guess what? One day, it is going to happen. And it might be before we leave church that it happens. And then it's going to be there because God's word will be fulfilled. And that's what he's saying here in this verse. He's saying, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." My promises will be fulfilled, and don't let Satan deceive you as you look at the circumstances that you're living in right at this moment. I will fulfill my word. And then he closes that psalm by saying, "Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." He's saying, you follow my word, I deliver on my word. Don't look to the world. And when bad things seem to happen in your life, realize that, as we sang that song about a month ago, I guess it was now, "Does Jesus Care?" When somebody picked it. One of my favorite songs, because it talks about some bad things that happen. But Jesus cares. And He's always there. And He knows about our heartaches. And He knows about our needs. And He's made promises, and He will not fail. Those promises shall be fulfilled. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You just help us to see that we need to keep our eyes on You. And I know that Satan constantly wants us to take him off and place him on the world to get a rebellious spirit. And we're not to have one of rebellion, but rather one of obedience. And Lord, we pray that You would just help us to seek to walk in Your way, according to Your truth, to accomplish Your purpose. Thank You for dads. Thank You for moms. Thank You for families. Thank You for children. And Lord, I pray that we'd understand the importance of living as we should live within the family, according to Your word and the blessing that will be ours if we do. That we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.